The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 13, 1989 at New Talavan Farm in Carriere, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 3rd chapter, 13th verse.
Vasudeva uvacha viditosi bhavan sakshat purusha prakrite para kevalanu bhavananda swarupa sarva buddhidrik.
Vasudeva said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and you are the Supersoul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly."
Vasudeva said,
My Lord,
you are the Supreme Person
beyond material existence.
And you are the
super
soul.
Your form can be perceived
by transcendental knowledge,
by which you can be understood
as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I now understand
your position perfectly.
Purport. Within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature both awakened. In the beginning, Vasudeva thought, "Such a beautiful child has been born, but now Kamsa will come and kill him." But when he understood that this was not an ordinary child, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became fearless. Regarding his son as the Supreme Lord, wonderful in everything, he began offering prayers appropriate for the Supreme Lord. Completely free from fear of Kamsa's atrocities, he accepted the child simultaneously as an object of affection and as an object of worship by prayers. Om Tat Sat. Thus end the 13th verse, 3rd chapter, canto 10. Srimad Bhagavatam, commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in the chapter entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. So now Vasudeva is praying to Lord Krishna, who has just been born as his son. When Vasudeva saw the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, Krishna appeared with four hands and four weapons, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, corn shell, wheel, club, and lotus. On his chest was marked the whirl of hair known as Sri Vatsa, and on his neck was the brilliant Kastuba gem. He was dressed in yellow. His body was blackish, like a dense monsoon rain cloud. His scattered hair fully grown, and his helmet and earrings sparkling uncommonly with a valuable gem, Vaidurya. The child, decorated with a brilliant belt, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments, appeared very wonderful. So Prabhupada explained that no newborn child is born with full-grown hair, wearing jewels and ornaments and clothes. Therefore, certainly the Lord's appearance was extraordinary. So here Vasudeva, first he saw a beautiful son, and because he was captive in the prison of his brother-in-law, Kamsa, who had previously killed his six earlier children, and one was transferred. So Now was the eighth, so surely Kamsa would come and try to and kill this child. That was his first fear, his first concern. But then he realized that his son was actually not an ordinary son, but was the Supreme Person. Then he became fearless, knowing that no one could harm his son because the Supreme Lord had appeared as his son. Srila Prabhupada's name is Abhoicharan Aravinda, one who is fearless by having taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So this fearlessness is a symptom of spiritual understanding or knowledge. It's explained that in animal life, fear is very, very prominent. And in human life, without transcendental knowledge, also is a very fearful time because no one knows what's going to happen from one moment to the next. No one knows that when they die, where they're going to go, what is death, what is birth. So naturally, this is a very fearful kind of existence. But when one has the full faith and understanding, faith in Krishna, faith in the Supreme Lord, understanding of who we are, our relationship with the Lord, then it's very easy to be fearless. So fearlessness leaves human beings when they have transcendental knowledge. So here Vasudeva is saying, your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the ripened fruit of devotional service is transcendental knowledge. When we can read the Bhagavatam, we can read the Bhagavad Gita every day and learn so many things. This is what's the most amazing about preaching in India, is you find so many people that know the Bhagavad Gita, that know parts of the Vedas. They can walk up to you in the street and say, you know, 5th chapter, 37th verse in the Bhagavad Gita states like this, can you kindly give your commentary? Or what do you think, you know? Or they'll quote some Sanskrit and then say, you know, ask you to give a commentary. Standing outside a post office in South India, someone came up and started quoting a verse in the Bhagavad Gita and asking a question. But what's also amazing is how, in spite of so much knowledge, that often they don't apply it at all. You know, the same person might, while walking away, light up a cigarette and walk away. It's like a mind-boggling how people can have knowledge to some degree and then don't apply it. So transcendental knowledge is not just like a book knowledge. Some people may know Bible, may know Gita, may know some religious book, but because they don't actually apply it in their life, or they haven't engaging in devotional service, it's not realized knowledge. Why does Krishna say the ripened fruit of Bhagavad, of the bhakti yoga, of devotional service, is transcendental knowledge? Real transcendental knowledge is not just theoretical knowledge or academic knowledge. Is applied, realized spiritual knowledge. Knowledge which we believe in, which gives us fearlessness, which gives us spiritual strength. Vasudeva, when he realized that Krishna, who has appeared as my son, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is transcendental to this material world, therefore he became fearless, because he could really understand that nothing could harm Krishna. And because Krishna was there, that meant that their danger, their fearful situation, was soon to be over, or was over already just by Krishna's presence. So we should understand the importance or the value of transcendental knowledge as compared to just knowing. Bhagavad Gita says this, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that. In Chicago, there's a big professor who knows about Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's an American professor who was famous about Chaitanya Charitamrita. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't apply it. He just knows about it. And he tells people, yes, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the 14th century, and this and that, and he can tell you, but for him, it's just, you know, like Shakespeare or anything else. And he thinks, well, he knows the proper translation. Prabhupada or someone else, they may not accept there, based on some kind of academic understanding. So transcendental knowledge is something very, very special. Transcendental knowledge is a knowledge that you cannot get just by reading a book, but it's a knowledge you get by the mercy of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada gives his mercy or through devotional service, and then someone actually understands what this knowledge means, how to apply it. That makes you fearless. When a person is fearful, what's going to happen? When a person doesn't know what to do, what not to do. This is a symptom of a lack of transcendental knowledge. Sometimes, due to attachment, we fall down from our transcendental position and we lose the perspective on what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And we become totally under the control of material modes of nature. This is the danger of being in this material world, that Maya is so strong. Even sages and great saints have sometimes become bewildered by the material nature. So the only way to remain in transcendental knowledge is through devotional service. If we stop doing devotional service, we turn down the momentum of our spiritual practices, our devotional service, then we can also lose some transcendental wisdom or knowledge and then become bewildered by material situations. If we keep strong in devotional service, then our transcendental knowledge also remains strong by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. We wonder, how is it that sometimes senior devotees or older devotees, they fall away? But the only thing that keeps us from falling away is transcendental knowledge. The knowledge that this is Maya and this is Krishna conscious. This is fully spiritual and this is material. And then knowing how to deal with the material and how to deal with the spiritual. So when someone, through one means or another, loses their transcendental knowledge, either due to reducing their devotional service and losing their shelter, or due to offenses, then once you lose that transcendental knowledge, it's very easy to act in the most foolish way. Someone with transcendental knowledge cannot understand at all how a person can act in such a foolish way as people in material understanding act. This way the Bhagavad Gita also states that the time of awakening for a self-realized soul is a time of sleeping for a person in material consciousness. And the time of awakening for a person in material consciousness is a time for sleeping of a self-realized soul. So, person in transcendental knowledge, they have the transcendental perspective on things. They're seeing things from the point of view of what's pleasing to Krishna, what's eternal, what's everlasting. And when we lose that, then we start to see what's going to make my body happy, what's going to make my mind happy, we start thinking in all kinds of material terms, and we lose sight of our eternal spiritual condition, and therefore we become fearful. And this fear puts us in great anxiety, stress, and then like this, from that we sometimes become angry. Then we lose our intelligence, we fall down into illusion, then finish of our spiritual life. So it's very dangerous to leave the shelter of devotional service. It's most essential to come up to the platform of transcendental knowledge and remain there. Only Krishna can be realized by transcendental knowledge. Kevalanu bhavananda sarupa. Your form is Satchidananda Vigraha, and whoever perceives you becomes transcendentally blissful. So we can see Krishna, we can perceive Krishna through devotional service, through serving the deities, through Sankirtan, through different types of devotional service. We can perceive Krishna through chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. For the Krishna conscious lifestyle, whether one's a grihastha or a householder, whether one's a student or a renounced preacher, sannyasi, whatever their order of life might be, the process is to remain constantly in transcendental knowledge, to come up to the platform of transcendental knowledge through practicing devotional service, and then remain there by practicing devotional service. Transcendental knowledge is not something like a material commodity. You buy 10 kilos of gold and keep it in your back pocket or something. You buy a few ounces of gold and keep it in your closet. Transcendental knowledge is not different from Krishna. It's living, it's dynamic. And to keep it, we have to remain in devotional service. Through bad association, through departure from devotional service, we can lose transcendental knowledge. Indra was offensive to his spiritual master. He lost his transcendental knowledge and he got cursed. So in this way he came down and became a pig. There as a pig, he had a pig family with a piggylets, what do you call it, piglets? Baby piggies. And he was quite happy laying in the sun, in the mud, rolling over from one side to the other, rooting in the mud for little worms and maggots and things to eat. Meanwhile, Indra, who's the king of the upper planetary system, while he was suffering this curse, there was a lot of disturbance in the higher planetary system because various intrigues were going on. When the cats away, the mice will play. There wasn't anyone else who was really qualified to take that position. Other people were making a mess of things. So then Baha Brahma came and requested Indra to come back. But Indra, having already taken birth as a pig, he forgot his previous life. Whenever we take birth, we forget our previous life. We might be the president of the country or a great king or an Indian chief or anybody in our previous life. But this life, we start over, we forget what we were before, in most cases. And then, we just know what we are now. So in the case of Indra, he only knew he was a pig. He was quite happy. So he couldn't conceive of leaving his life as a pig. What about his responsibilities to his family and to society and to so many things? The pig society would never be the same without him. He was a leader of the wallow. But, he had a much higher duty in the universe. So then Brahma, he sprinkled from his kamandalu, his sacred water pot, on the members of the pig family of Indra. So as soon as they got sprinkled, they left their bodies and went on to a higher birth. But as far as Indra could see, they're dead. So he started to cry, "My family is dead, my kids are alive." So then Brahma was amazed, the bewildering potency of the material nature. So then he sprinkled Indra, poof! He became back into his heavenly body, so powerful. He looked down and said, "Oh my God, oh my goodness, I was just a pig. Horrible." And this way, if we, due to offense or due to some reason, we lose our transcendental knowledge, there's no telling what a person can do. So, especially, Prabhupada said that, he was saving people from really hellish conditions of life, gross materialistic conditions of life. And the danger is if you lose the transcendental knowledge, you go back to where you came. You go back to the level you're at, which in the case of persons who didn't have any culture, spiritual culture to begin with, that means that the possibility of falling really back into gross sinful, gross materialistic activities is very great. So that's, it's like the amount of space, the distance we can fall is much more deep. The crevice is very profound. So we should be very, very careful to maintain our transcendental knowledge. Otherwise we can start to act as a materialist very easily. You see, devotees who are bewildered by the material nature, you say, well, I've done so much devotional service. I paid my dues. I've done, you know, now I have to do so many other things. So, but actually, somehow they lose their transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is not something that you just like, you keep it, as I mentioned, your back pocket or something. It's something that is kept alive like an electric charge by constantly putting in new current. It's like an electrical magnet or something. If you take off the electrical charge, the magnet is no longer powerful. You can go on adding more and more electrical charge to the electrical magnet. It can lift up whole cars. It can lift up tons and tons. As long as we keep the force of our devotional service, that attraction to Krishna will remain very strong. But if we lose transcendental knowledge, we can forget. Of course, there's a certain momentum build-up. Prabhupada explains that there's a momentum in spiritual life, but that momentum is kept alive and kept increasing by adding Muhanur devotional service. Once we leave devotional service or start to act on a material platform, then we become fearful, we become bewildered, and it's like a vicious cycle. So we have to be very careful. We have to be like Vasudeva and Devaki, who are simultaneously fearless for themselves, who are simultaneously feeling great affection for Krishna. At the same time, they're feeling some fear in the sense of caution for Krishna due to their affection. So we should, due to our attachment to devotional service, we should be fearful of Maya. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. What time is it? Chaturvada? Any questions?
Transcendental knowledge and transcendental love.
When you have transcendental knowledge of the Lord, then naturally you feel affection. You feel attachment to the Lord. Unless you have transcendental knowledge, you cannot know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord, you can't love the Lord. As soon as you know Krishna, in fact, then your love for Krishna starts to manifest. Because by nature, we have an eternal relationship with God. We have a natural love. It's not something you have to learn. It's like, it's something natural that's already there. Prabhupada explains, it's just like a little child has a capacity to walk. It's not that you have to like teach a baby calf or a baby human being to walk. The capacity is already there. They just have to practice. They just have to try a little bit and then they can do it. It's already inborn within them. Maybe humans, you see how they have to practice. They have little toys that you can run with. Even though, you know, the little babies, they're not able to stand on their own, but they can already, by holding, I think they call them strollers or something, I don't know what they call them, walkers. And they can practice walking even before their legs are strong enough to hold them up completely or keep their balance. And you see, a cow is born after about 15, 20 minutes, 40 minutes. The baby calf just jumps up and starts running around. So just as they have an inborn capacity to walk, we have within us the capacity or the inborn nature to love Krishna. Simply through the little practice that comes out. So due to practicing devotional service, due to knowing Krishna in fact, then naturally we feel love for Krishna. If we don't have a clear understanding of Krishna, then if we have a misunderstanding of who Krishna is, and we love a misunderstanding, then we're in love with something that doesn't exactly exist, or it's not complete, it's partial. So that means it's not a pure love. So transcendental knowledge goes hand in hand with transcendental love. With transcendental knowledge and transcendental love automatically develops. As soon as Vasudeva could understand Krishna, he felt some affection for Krishna and transcendental knowledge side by side. That's what Prabhupada says in the Purport. Within Vasudeva's heart, affection for his son and knowledge of the Supreme Lord's transcendental nature both awakened. For those who are directly in Krishna's pastimes, they may, without knowledge, they may feel some attraction to Krishna. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was a little baby, people didn't know he was Krishna, but they were feeling a tremendous affection towards him. This is something that happens in the direct presence of the Lord. Someone may hear the chanting and think, oh, this is beautiful. Someone was saying how yesterday We were telling how they were on Harinam last week and Sunday. It was real ecstatic, Harinam. And then how some people came up or some lady came up and said, "Oh, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful." So they don't have knowledge about, you know, what is the whole philosophy, but they feel some spontaneous attraction for things connected to Krishna. And that is a type of devotional service that will give them transcendental knowledge in the future. So one, if one has a kind of a spontaneous attraction to Krishna, that can produce transcendental knowledge, which means then their position is fixed. Or on the other hand, by doing devotional service through regulative principles, getting transcendental knowledge, then also you develop attraction for Krishna, affection for Krishna. So they're both hand in hand. Is that all right? Any other questions? Back to Mike. Any question? This will be revealed in the later verses that the Lord, some births before, Devaki and Vasudeva, as husband and wife, they had done very intense worship and prayer to the Lord, so that the Lord appeared before them. And they prayed to the Lord that we would like to have a son like you. They were observing celibacy for a long time as husband and wife because they didn't want to have just any son. They wanted a real special son. And they wanted a son that was just like God. So then the Lord said, "There's nobody like me. He's one without a second." So he said, "Because you want a son like me, I will become your son." Three times. Three different births. So this is the third birth that they become the son of Krishna. I mean, the parents of Krishna in different incarnations of Godhead. So there's no birth pastime of Krishna in the spiritual world. There's no birth at all in the spiritual world. But when the Lord comes down into the material world, sometimes he comes similarly to a human being. So that time he can show a birth pastime. But in the spiritual world, he has devotees who are functioning as parents, even though there's no birth. So they've already come down. His all spiritual world parents and friends, a great deal of them had already come down and were waiting across the river Jamuna in the village of Nandagram. And so after Krishna appeared to Vasudeva, he said, "Now please take me across the river and leave me in the house of Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda and take the baby from there and bring back here." So although they had the blessing of having Krishna as a son, they didn't have, on the very day of his birth, he left their house and went to another place. And he grew up for 16 years in the family of his foster parents, Nanda and Yasoda Maharaj, who actually come down also from the spiritual world. So he'd already sent the different devotees who were going to help him in his pastimes. Some before, some were older, so they came before. Some were the similar age, or just a little older. Some were a little younger, so they came just according to how they would be having pastimes with Krishna, that appropriate age. Then after the age of 16, Krishna visibly left Vrindavan and rejoined back with Devaki and Vasudeva and acted as their son. His childhood pastimes were done with Nanda and Yasoda. So they were definitely very, very special devotees. They got this as a special gift or mercy from Krishna because of their great austerities and prayers and desire. So someone desires to serve the Lord, he reciprocates and fulfills their desire. We know how there's, like, now in America, people are promoting positive thinking. If you really desire something, you can get it. Actually, this is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that thinking, feeling, willing, this is a characteristic of the soul. If a person really wants something, if they have the appropriate good karma to get it, then they can get it, you see. If not exactly as much as that, depends on how much karma they have. Good karma or bad karma, how much they'll get. It's not only desire, but it's a combination of desire and what you deserve, both. But in the spiritual life, there's no question we can do anything to deserve it, but if we desire to serve Krishna and then we are rendering devotional service, He appreciates our devotional service and He grants us His mercy whenever He wants to, so that we can fulfill our desire to serve Him. So the devotees remain fixed in the desire to be Krishna conscious, to serve Krishna, and eventually a specific desire of a way to serve Krishna, a particular way as a parent, or as a friend, or as a servant, as a consort, a particular kind of desire develops how to serve Krishna, and then eventually Krishna will fulfill that desire out of His causeless mercy. And we can take up a direct service to the Lord in the spiritual world, which is considered the highest perfection of life. So before we go back to the spiritual world, when Krishna comes in the material universe somewhere in the material creation, then devotees who have this desire to serve Krishna, they are allowed to take birth in that particular universe and that in Vrindavan, or that particular place where the Lord's pastimes are going on, or just before they're going on, or just depending on their relationship. And then they can be integrated within the pastimes. And then when Krishna goes back to the spiritual world, they all go back with Him. Is that clear? Shri Prabhupada ki.